the Adaptive Alphas podcast.
Mindset, heart set, body set, and spiritual set.
We can be stronger for our families and our communities.
What's up, everybody? This is the Adaptive Alphas podcast. I'm Josh Berkman, here with my co-host, Josh Sanchez. What's up, Josh?
What's up, guys? Welcome. We are excited to give you guys an introduction on what the Adaptive Alphas podcast and community is about.
Why are Josh and I sitting here? Everybody has a podcast. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody has good information now. So Josh, take a few minutes and just explain to my friends and our listeners and your people who you are and why we're sitting here.
The best way to describe my past and what I've done is serial entrepreneurship is what I am now. And so what's a serial entrepreneur? A serial entrepreneur is somebody who basically creates a business, launches it, and then brings it from zero in sales or negative or in the red to the black, and then either keeps it in place or moves on. So for me, I've started and launched, co-founded over a dozen businesses in a dozen different industries. I love the creative aspect of building, of problem solving. I love the self-direction aspect of it. I love the how every single day I had to come up with solutions, and I just love challenge. And I quickly found that the more I did business or I had a side hustle and I scaled it, the more I developed as a person. And entrepreneurship was a great catalyst for personal development in my life. I self-funded most of my businesses, and I did that through starting in door-to-door sales and then managing teams. Since then, I've created e-commerce businesses. I have done business in seven different countries selling digital products. At my recent endeavor is a fitness equipment business, and that one, so we pre-ordered and then we had sales in eight different countries. That one, and so in totality, I've done business in six different continents, 15 different countries around the world. I'm planning on scaling that and continuing to grow. But I really love just being in the arena, like this whole process of even developing Adaptive Alphas and with Josh and I going into a partnership. And he could probably attest better than I can how quickly I just come up with ideas and then execute on those ideas. It's just second nature to me now. We think about it, we ideate, we implementate, and then we iterate.
All those business things aside, that's one of the reasons I also really respect you is is how you talk about your wife and how you talk about your kids.
Right.
So just explain that real fast too.
Yep. So a father of two kiddos. I had my first daughter at a very young age. She's currently 10 now, but she's amazing. She's really, without her, I don't know if I would be where I am. So she was my original why, and very few people know that. But background before business was I was a knucklehead, troubled kid, dropped out of high school, went back into high school, but was doing stuff that somebody who's lost and has no vision or values or reasons or whys in their life and no purpose, the slippery slope.
Absolutely.
And so now, my relationship with my significant other is amazing. She's amazing. My kids are amazing.
I'm telling you, and we're going to get into some about your birth of your child and you supported her.
Right.
And there's a lot of really cool things and aspects about Josh as a mover, as a conscious human being that I'm excited that these people get to hear and know about too.
Right. So beyond my first business exit, beyond my sales and contracts and business development, my greatest achievement is fatherhood, is being a good dad and working at that, because am I the father that I would like to be. And so that's a constant every day. So Josh, not everybody, we Google you, we know who you are, we've seen your UFC fights, but maybe there's some one person on this podcast who doesn't know who you are. So maybe give us some background.
Who am I? I'm an ex-professional athlete, fought in the UFC for mixed martial arts for 17 years. I fought in the UFC for 10 years. And I think that's what Josh was saying about, like, people might know who I am. The thing about me, though, is I hope people forget that I was ever a professional fighter. I don't want to be known for being a fighter. I want to be known for being a good father, somebody that helped his community, and somebody that helped people and kids be better at what they do and be better human beings. You know, there's a quote by the Dalai Lama that basically says, we're here for 99, 100 years at the most. And while we're here, we should do something good and something useful with our lives. And if we add to the happiness of other people's lives, we'll find out the true meaning and the true purpose. I grew up playing traditional sports. I played football, baseball, I wrestled, and, I have a great mother, I have an awesome dad, and I have a good family. And, you know, I think that that's probably what has given me the confidence and strength in my life. I'm in a relationship with my brother. He's been my best friend for 41 years. And I just think that that we should make the people that are most important in our lives the most important in our lives. I think that's something we will talk about and something that we will discuss. Now it's like, again, I feel like fighting served my ego. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it did. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm in a different phase of my life that is past the warrior, and it's coming into fatherhood, and it's coming into a leader, and it's coming into a general. And I want to, you know, I have two little boys. I have a little boy named Legend, who's 8 years old, and I have another little boy that's six. And for the last few years, basically what I've done is teach and coach them and give them principles that are going to help them be strong little human beings and grow into good men. And it's been the greatest education of my life. And now I want to start to develop that and grow that. Again, you know, I don't care if people remember me as a fighter. I don't care if people talk about me in the UFC. I want people to be like, man, that guy's good with kids. He's got 100 wrestlers on his program. Mm-hmm. Just give back to the community. You know, I hope that I can teach lessons to people through this that help people gain confidence and be peaceful and share love and share happiness. First and foremost, what is the Adaptive Alphas podcast? What Adaptive Alphas is, it's a men's group. And our men's group is going to have a lot of different layers to it. But basically what Josh and I are trying to do and going to do is we want to use different tools to strengthen men themselves, almost like, you know, forging a sword, right? You put it in the fire,
right?
You pound on it, you hammer it, you sharpen it, and then you put it back in the fire and you do it again. And we're going to do this through a lot of different modalities. But basically our goal is to create stronger men, better husbands, better fathers, and in a way that is very brave and courageous, that strengthens character so that we can be stronger for our families and our communities.
Right. What about you, Josh? Yeah. So in a nutshell, Adaptive Alphas is a lifestyle brand. Men who are looking to make personal development a central mission. And so we want to really target a few areas of that: mindset, heart set, body set, and spiritual set. And then within each of those are subsets. And I think things that you and I have practiced for many years now, you through your own vertical of warriorship of mixed martial arts, and me through business. So my kind of training ground was entrepreneurship. And that was a huge catalyst for personal development in my life. That's our goal. And we're going to have a few different aspects to Adaptive Alphas. We're going to have this podcast, which you hear now. We're going to also have a YouTube series. We're also going to have an online platform that's for members only. Because I don't know if you guys know the current climate in social media, the ex-president of the United States was taken off and was audited. And if he can, then anyone can. And so we want to be making and building communities outside of social media. So we don't want Instagram or YouTube or Facebook to be able to edit or change or block our content, because a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about are counterculture.
What we're talking about, it's almost like certain corporations and entities and government has become so big that they make us feel small. They can even, like you said, shut down the president, right? And I think a way to connect warriorship and brothers and tribes and community, if something like that happens, right? That's why they make militias. That's why they do certain things, right, is so that we can stand up for ourselves, so that I can stand up for me. I can stand up for my neighbor. I can stand up for my community. And if shit goes down, then we can call on each other to make sure that we're okay. Hey, do you guys got food? Hey, Josh, you got food?
Right.
Cool. We got guns. You guys got ammo? And just make sure that no matter what happens in society, hopefully everything's okay and everything works out.
Right.
But also that you have a confidence in each other. And your brothers and the warriorship around you and your tribe around you, that we're going to be all right. We're in this together. 100%. And I think that's the big goal is that we're in this together. And off of the Adaptive Alphas,
Josh came to me probably, what was it? Yeah, 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
And we had a few different ideas about, like, just how to spread information. and it very much became about warriorship and martial arts and something that society is missing a little, right? Mm-hmm. And how that might give society a little more substance and here we are with the Adaptive Alphas podcast. We shot one a while ago. I think that there's no better time now than to try to come together and build communities and take care of our friendships and our families. And I think that's a lot about what we're wanting to do and what we're about.
Yeah. And on that same note, let's talk a little bit about the new wellness center that you launched in the last 6 months.
Yeah. So we opened up the dojo. It's in Salt Lake City, Utah. And basically it's called the dojo. Dojo in Japan was a spiritual space. So I don't really think we're a fight center. I think we're very much a health and wellness martial arts center. Martial arts means warlike arts, mm-hmm. right? So we study warlike arts, but in a way to become peaceful, right? Mm-hmm. In a way to get through this warriorship so that we can have this confidence that makes us feel very secure. So what we do is we teach yoga, mobility, which is martial arts movement. We teach wrestling, jitsu, and all forms of kickboxing and striking. So I call all the grappling and wrestling, jiu-jitsu, all that, it's grappling. All the boxing, kickboxing, all those things are striking. So, and then we tie it all together with meditation, you know, and really teaching people to breathe and have good posture. And I think that's at the core of what we teach at the dojo.
And breathwork. Breathwork is absolutely in line with meditation.
For sure.
Definitely breathing patterns, anatomically right breath, because there's a wrong way to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most people are breathing incorrectly, mm-hmm. right? Heavy in their chest, you know, and you want to be able to fill up the whole system with your breath and move energy everywhere. So rhythmic and coherent breathing creates a more rhythmic and coherent brain and emotion, mm-hmm. which also vests in the body. So I think that... luckily, I've figured that out through my career to try to heal myself. And then I've also lucky enough to be able to embody it and teach it.
I love that. Dan Brule, the Bruce Lee of breathwork. Yeah. Have you heard of him? Dan Brule?
No.
So he talks about the two most important facets of breathwork are breath awareness and conscious breathing. So one conscious breath can be a meditation, but he also talks about being aware of your breathing patterns. So it's 10 a.m. and you're clocked in and your boss has yelled at you a couple times and you're on a strict deadline and you come to this awareness that, I'm not breathing properly. I have a very shallow chest breath. So I'm super stressed out. Let me take a conscious 6 second in, six second out, right?
Absolutely.
Exhale and balance.
You know, I think breathing is one of the things that is the most important thing of our life that has been not taught to us correctly, mm-hmm. right? There's a very popular saying that we can go 2 weeks without food, mm-hmm. we can go 3 days without water, but we can only go minutes without breath, yet we don't dive into this enough,
right?
But now you see it in the world. Everybody's discussing breath more, why it's important, and we'll have podcasts on specifically breath work, you know, meditation, mm-hmm. how to go from beta to alpha to theta brain waves, you mm-hmm. know, I mean? Which is what we're doing in class last night, you know, at the end of class, everybody's laying out and zenned out. Mm-hmm. So the wellness center and the martial arts wellness center, I think what people really need is they need physical exertion, mm-hmm. right? To be able to deal with everything that we're dealing with in society, the emotions, what's truthful and what's not truthful,
right.
You know, what's the propaganda, what's the agenda. And I think that, you know, it's a very important time to be able to know yourself. And that's why we are doing this. You know, me and Josh had a discussion about what the wolf meant. Why that? Explain your thoughts on why it's a good going animal, spirit animal. For
spirit
us.
Animal icon, all of those. Yeah. So the symbolism of the wolf, both as a spiritual icon and as a logo too. One of the quotes that I just posted on our Instagram page was, the lion and the tiger are stronger for sure, but you'll never see a wolf performing in a circus. That idea of you being self-driven, self-motivated, self-directed, which ultimately, I think externally, if somebody's self-directed, usually when you look internally, they've done the inner work as well to get clear on their values, on their mission, on their purpose.
Absolutely.
And so I think the wolf has a lot of noble traits. And then when we go to the word alpha as well, we talk about adaptive alphas, we really loved when we did a little bit of research on the wolf and some studies that came out. But not a lot of people talk about this, but talk about what it actually means to be an alpha in a wolf pack and how it's not, you know, the hierarchy of the most dominant male, but it's the...
Well, so just to go back to, I didn't love the word alpha. Like, I didn't like thinking, oh, I'm going to try to be more dominant or I'm going to prove that I'm this, you know. And a lot of the way that the alpha has been marketed is this, I'm better than you, I'm stronger than you. And the way that they came up with that is they did a study on wolves.
They were just
captivity. Wolves who were in captivity. And they fought amongst each other to prove who was the dominant wolf. But those were wolves in captivity, right? They had a different way of survival than the natural wolf. When they started to study these wolves in nature, they realized the alpha was not, the wolves didn't fight amongst their different packs. They rarely ever, if ever, fought, you know, each other. They kind of stayed away from each other, stayed in their packs. But what they realized is the alpha was actually the breeders. The alpha was the father and the mother. Right? And they were the alphas because they hunted, they protected. And I think that that's, Josh is a father, I'm a father, he's engaged, and I'm a husband. And so I think it's very important to you and I that we are the alphas of our family. That our wives are also the alphas of our family.
100%.
That we take care of our kids and we take care of our wives. And I think that that's really what this podcast is going to be about, is how do you be a strong, for better, lack of better terms, breeder. But in a sense of the wolf, but in the sense of a man, how do you be a good husband? How do you be a good father? And how do you take care of your family so that you can be a pillar in your community?
100%.
And those are the things that we think are probably the most important things that we could discuss right now, you know? And then we have virtues and values that go along with those things. Adaptive Alphas, we've come up with our three core values, and that's warriorship, we bow, growth with love.
Well, I'm going to talk about warriorship, but real quick, I do want to go back to that study about the wolf pack, because I think it's really important to point out how big environment plays in behavior, and how when somebody is in their natural environment versus a synthetic environment, that if you're doing studies on synthetic, any species, any mammal in a synthetic environment, it's very hard to pull actual truisms from that, because they're not in their natural habitats. And I think that also reflects, you know, as being a human in society, in civilization, in certain contexts. So in my past, I've done consulting and coaching and different things for business. When I do entrepreneurship or business coaching, it usually has to do with inner work. And so we dial in on diet, we dial in on mindset, we dial in on a lot of things that have nothing to do with business, but they do, And one of the first things that I notice is, even if you, even if I work with you, it's like taking a goldfish, cleaning them off, giving them the tools that they need to be healthy. And I'm taking them out of this, you know, this dirty tank, so to speak. The moment I drop them back in that tank, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get sick again. They're going to fall back into those patterns. And so, but if I were to take that same goldfish and put them into a clean tank, into their natural environment or into the ocean, you know, that goldfish is not going to have a lot of the neurotic holdback patterns, a lot of the neurosis, a lot of the pathologies that happen. So when we take that wolf and then we see them in the natural habitat, it's no wonder that it was so different. It's no wonder that this kind of myth was perpetuated.
It had to be more defensive, had to be more on guard, which also is a reflection of what's happening in our society too. We have to be a little more defensive, a little more protective, because we're unsure what's happening right now, you know, which is why I think the warriorship is vital for our society right now.
100%. And when we originally had that conversation, and I called you and we had the conversation of, hey, look, I think that there needs to be some strongholds and some spaces for men to really develop outside of just kind of the same narrative over and over. Provider, and you call most men very cerebral, but not in their bodies, And so there's nothing that you can do really that will bring you to the present moment than it is to, you know, for martial arts or MMA or
get your senses on point, because somebody's about to try to fight you.
You're going
to
get punched in the mouth.
It'll make you present real quick.
100%. MMA, I do see that as a, you know, when and we've talked about this as well, you're on the path and your personal development is a core tenet in your life, then you're going to grow through MMA, and it's really akin to spirituality, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Martial arts is not about fighting. It's a spiritual journey, mm-hmm. right? And you can talk about it bringing you up through the energy centers, bringing you up through the chakras, you know, but it's basically taking the warrior to learn, teach him to learn to deal with the ego, mm-hmm. to surrender the ego so that he can become the teacher, the healer, and the lover, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and if we don't go through that rite of passage as the warrior, well, then we're always trying to prove ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing of the quote that we talked about before the show, you know, it's not the trained martial artist who's trying to prove himself, or it's not the trained martial artist
Picking on people. Bullying.
Yeah. It's the weakling mm-hmm. and the insecure one, because they're always trying to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's, you know, something that a lot of families and people in the gym, like, we focus on kids, and the kids come in and they get to wrestle and they get to play, and the parents are like, thank you. Like, mm-hmm. my kid is a little happier, a little sweeter, but it's like all these little wolves, little lions, little gorillas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see them, they're rolling around in right. every documentary you've seen at the mm-hmm. at the zoo, wherever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's natural for us to want to learn how to fight and play and mm-hmm. move, and not just sit in a desk and, you know, study math and science and certain things. You know, like, we're human beings, we're movers. And it's very important for us to be able to do that, to be healthy human beings.
Is there anything else you want to add to warriorship? Maybe the example of, you know, strong civilizations throughout history have had a warrior class.
Right.
Why is it important for men in this day and age, right? We're going right. through some really uncertain times, to be confident in their ability to defend themselves and or take any sort of an initiative to ensure the safety of their family and communities.
Right. Well, I think too, with warriorship, right? With mm-hmm. training in martial arts, it heightens your intuition. Mm. And when you become stable and strong in who you are, then your intuition is heightened, and you don't necessarily need to go to everybody else to form your opinions. You very much have this intuition that lets you know what's right, what's wrong, you know, and also you gain a strength that you don't necessarily need to be guided by weaker men. Right. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a warrior, right? Is going through struggle, going through hardship with the physical body, with the emotion, learning to heal injuries, learning to take care of yourself. And all these things, they give you a strength and a humbleness, right? A strength that I can defend myself and I can take care of myself, but a humbleness that man is man and we can be harmed and we can hurt. For me personally, I fought 17 years professionally, had 47 fights, and I just wanted to prove that I was the baddest dude in the world. And I got to a point where I fought John Fitch. I beat John Fitch in 41 seconds. And I was like, I could beat anybody in the world right now.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Hands down, like, mm-hmm. I'm there. I found it. Not to mention, I was very conscious, right, of, like, what was happening around me. My intuition was high. My senses were high. Once I got to that place, my ego surrendered a little bit. I was like, I made it. I don't have to prove myself anymore. I don't have to prove that I'm the baddest man in the world anymore. And part of me was like, I had two little boys at home and I wanted to play monster trucks and I wanted to go hang out with them. I still needed to provide for my family. But when the ego is surrendered, it's almost like you're not as competitive. You're not out to prove anything anymore. Mm-hmm. You're more just concerned about taking care of your pack, mm-hmm. you know, instead of proving that you are something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that stage of warriorship where it's not about what people think about us, but it's about how we feel about ourselves and who we are. And I think that surrendering of ego takes us from competition and ego into more of a teacher and a softer role in life that might lead to more peace. Mm. I just don't know that a lot of people go through warriorship, and so they're always in conflict and
right. I don't think they have the clarity around what when there's a perceived danger, you know, versus fear. Right. You know, I'm scared to walk in an alley by myself. And most men wouldn't say that they're scared to walk downtown, you know, late at night.
Right.
That's more of a feminine and a female,
right.
You know, fear. But regardless, yeah. it gives you clarity around actual danger right. and fear.
Absolutely.
And it's like at your level of dedication and discipline to MMA, and putting yourself in those situations, there's probably very few people who you fear to be in the same room as.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a good feeling to have.
100%.
Right? And I think all people can earn that. Mm-hmm. I think all people can earn the ability to be able to at least feel like they can take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, fighting is different now, right? The arts of war are different now.
100%.
Because now we have swords. Mm-hmm. We've always had them, but there's guns. But also it's having that intuition to know, I don't want to walk into this situation. How? Mm-hmm. I mean, the highest level of fighting is the art of fighting without fighting. Mm-hmm. So staying away from those situations that cause conflict. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the learning to fight should be, and to defend yourself is a prerequisite mm-hmm. for becoming a elder, you know, to be able to set into those in those ways. And I think that through Adaptive Alphas, we're going to talk about a lot of, I'm sure we'll talk to fighters. I'm sure we'll talk about what it is. I mean, in jiu-jitsu and different martial arts, they have a belt system, mm-hmm. you know, and in the earlier martial arts, they didn't have a belt system, but it was about how you held yourself. It's how you walked into the room, mm-hmm. you know, like it was like, oh, something about this guy, mm-hmm. you know? And so we'll get into a lot about things about warriorship. The goal is to make good fathers, good husbands, mm-hmm. by adding these virtues, you know, to ourselves and the people around us, maybe we can make this world a better place.
Right. Stronger communities at the very least, right?
Absolutely.
At the very least.
Even if it's just here at the dojo on this podcast.
There you go. There you go. And so the next is WeBow. The WeBow has been, I think, a part of your value system for a long, long time. Right.
Yeah.
But for me, WeBow signifies the respect. It signifies student teacher relationships. I'm a big practitioner in studentship. I would say that's a superpower, to know when you walk into a room when to be a student and when to be a teacher.
Absolutely. Right?
And leave your ego at the door, you'd say.
Yeah.
So WeBow is synonymous with respect, studentship, and just be willing to learn. And there's other aspects to it as well, but those are the ones that I really love.
Yeah. I think you're dead on with that, right? Like WeBow is all about respect. Bow is about the respect in martial arts. What I try to teach people in the dojo is that when you bow, it should be the safest place that you can go. Mm-hmm. It should be a place you can go to get answers, to pray for guidance, to listen, or to just heal yourself. You know, I think that part of it is we don't always need to be puffing up our chest and proving who we are, which is kind of what you were saying. We bow, we leave our ego at the door. You come in to be a student. We come in to be the teacher sometimes too. You know, we got to know when to teach and we got to know when to lead. Mm-hmm. And I think the bow is just the humbleness of like, you know, I have respect for my teacher, for what I'm here to learn. And then also, you know, there's a bow about martial arts too. As you bow, you keep your eyes on your opponent. You know, you don't mm-hmm. take your eyes off the opponent. And there's a lot to do with the dristi in yoga and in martial arts, you know, that ties into eye gazing and bows and fighting and things like that too.
Yeah, we'll get into that whole eye gazing thing too, especially as men, right? Masculinity, that's a little bit tougher for men to get vulnerable in that space.
Right.
And then the last one is, we defined it as growth with love.
Yep.
What does growth with love mean for you?
Well, growth with love is, I mean, I think kind of like that moving, that system of moving from our lower self to middle self to higher self. And I think, you know, if we're stuck in the lower self, it's negative. There's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of up and downs, you know, if we carry this energy low within ourselves. Mm-hmm. The warrior is strong through their torso and the energy can start to rise up, right? And so the warrior feels very confident in where he stands between the heavens and the earth, right? Mm-hmm. In his body. I think that, and the warrior loves events, loves competition, loves, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the middle self, but it's still kind of like an up and down journey. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start to get up into the higher self, you carry the energy in the heart, in the head, then it's, you've had to earn that. And I think it becomes, the highest self is joy and love. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for me, going through this whole process of martial arts, from the warrior to the teacher, to the elder, is being in a place of love, right? Mm-hmm. Peace and love. And so I think growth and love is going through all the struggles that we've gone through to be in a place that we feel more stable and more confident and be able to love ourselves and love the people around us to create a higher energy.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. For me, in my own personal development journey in the past, I would say over the last decade, I've been really tapped into learning more about my mindset, heart set, spirituality, physicality as well. I have balance in a lot of those, right? Yeah. And what I did notice is that almost every field that I would study, research, and then, you know, practice, whether it was breath work or nutrition or fitness, it's like everyone wants to compartmentalize it as that as the key, right. You know? And in the spiritual community, there's this hierarchy where it's like our higher self and then our lower self and our middle self. And it's like, because higher self does tap into the hierarchy of things, it doesn't mean that it's more important than our lower and our middle, right?
For sure, absolutely.
And I think that's a distinction, is that everyone wants to live light, love, positivity,
right?
But the shadow is just as important.
Absolutely.
Deep diving your demons, uncovering, you know, the unconscious patterns in your life. When I imagine things, I don't imagine a hierarchy. I don't imagine Maslow's hierarchy of needs as, you know, self-actualization, the pinnacle. It's like, I will break things down and look at them like webs. And it's like, there's a part of the web that's just as important as every other part. And without that piece, everything kind of falls apart, or there's this disbalance.
Absolutely.
And seeing that when somebody's too, you know, wants to be too in their love, light, positivity, they cast the largest shadow.
Right.
Yeah. Because they're turning away from aspects of themselves. It's like, embody the primal parts of yourself. Embody the animal, right?
Absolutely.
And then also embody the guru, embody the higher consciousness. And for me, growth with love was just really tapped into my overall thesis as personal development as a central mission in my life, but with the undercurrent of love, which will completely remove the ego. Because there's times as men, we want to compete just to compete. And that's okay. As long as the rules are, you know, as long as you're dispelling or expressing or communicating those rules with everyone involved, like, hey, we're competing. This is sacred. But if you're just competing with people unconsciously, unwittingly, and not telling them, you know, then that's when the ego, it's purely for ego.
Right.
And so with love, the idea to connect, to enhance, to create more vibrancy for others, I think that's something that really drew me to you, was I saw that at the root of what you were doing, it wasn't to show or boast because you have embodied all of these values, which are the organizational values of Adaptive Alphas. And that's what we'll kind of predicate every decision on, right?
Right.
We're not here to bring on the whoever's the most viral sensation of the moment. You have dozens of podcasts doing that already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. To create a community, you know? And I think off the growth with love, what you said too, is it's like a lot of people see me and they're like, yeah, no, Josh is cool. He's very peaceful. He's very loving, you know?
Yep.
Until you hurt me or somebody around me. And then that is the last thing you will remember.
100%.
Right? I've created people around me that I don't have to deal with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have good people around me that are respectful. And if they're not, then they're not around.
Right.
You know, like it's, I think all of us want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that my goal in doing this show with you is to try to help people take control of their own life. There's a wide thought that Buddha's last words were trust in yourself for your own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very important time in history that you have to look within yourself to find the answers for yourself. It doesn't need to be the politicians that are telling you what to do. It doesn't need to be Fauci and the CDC telling you that you need to do this with masks and you need to do this. You have this intelligence inside yourself that will tell you how to make it through this time. And if you don't want to be a subject of a system or an institution, then you've got to strengthen yourself in such a way that you transcend these systems and you gain that kind of freedom, right? The freedom to be able to make the choices that you want to make, to not be a subject, to not have to do a job you don't love.
Mm-hmm.
And as you gain this inner strength and you start to have purpose and you start to have vision, you may find your way outside of the matrix that's being laid down upon us.
Welcome to the Adaptive Alphas podcast. That was the intro.
Yeah.
And we're going to be touching on all of these topics and deep diving all of them. But for now, that's the intro. Appreciate your guys' attention and awareness. And there's nothing else I can say to end on what you just said, because that was powerful.
See you guys next time.